In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The topic for this fourth conference is mercy. I wonder how many Catholics actually associate Lent with mercy. That's exactly what it is. Yes, you have the contemplation of our Lord's suffering. But for ourselves, it provides us a specific time of the year. Not just this time of the year, but this time of the year, to look within ourselves, to do penance, to make sacrifices. And when you understand this correctly, this means that God is providing us with opportunity to be able to make up for our sins, to be able to understand how we have offended him, alongside the meditation of our Lord's sufferings, and make up for what we have done. It is truly important for us individually, in our own prayers, to beg God for mercy. Acts of mercy are incorporated right within the Mass, incorporated within the Litany of the Saints. In fact, several different litanies. So the plea for mercy is constant when one makes use of it. Where will we be without mercy? We'd all be condemned to hell. Because if God judged us strictly according to strict justice, he wouldn't accept any of us. That's how important it is. When one looks at mercy and justice, there's an equal balance here. This is one of the big mistakes that the modernists have made. This promotion of the divine mercy. In itself, it's not wrong, but it has created a wrong idea among Catholics, thinking that it's all about mercy and nearly nothing about justice. That's where the trap is at. For ourselves, we must understand that we must call upon God's mercy. We ask for his forgiveness, don't we? Mercy and forgiveness basically are side by side here. Every time you make an act of contrition, you're telling God that you're sorry. And directly or indirectly, it becomes an act of mercy. It's very interesting because even in the court systems, in this country at least, perhaps in other countries, it allows an individual to make an act of mercy, a plea for mercy upon the court. Sometimes it's effective, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's legitimate, sometimes it's not. More importantly, in the court of heaven, God desires to balance those scales, and he desires to bestow as much mercy upon us as we are justified. Justified. Because he's a just God. He's not going to unjustly bestow mercy upon us when it's not deserving. And even though his mercy is infinite, so is his justice. That's the balance that has to be maintained. So as we go through Lent, performing our fasts, our abstinences, our sacrifices, our penances. Let us keep in mind the plea for mercy. O Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. How many times in the course of one's life, whether it's direct or indirect, do we make that prayer? It's an extraordinarily important prayer. Because in doing so, you are admitting to God that you are a sinner. And you are praying that he will have mercy upon you. And provide you with the means of salvation. There are no guarantees, as you know. There's nothing automatic. There's nothing said that you've got a free ticket to heaven. It's one of the big mistakes of the Protestants. They think that our Lord's death on the cross brought them salvation. No, he didn't bring them salvation. He redeemed man. Now salvation is possible. Because now the gates of heaven were open. Now it's up to us to do the rest. Through the grace of God. Relying very heavily upon his mercy. In the correct way. Because when one looks at justice, you look within yourself and you admit to yourself, yeah. Yes, I am very much a sinner. Yes, if God judged me strictly according to my sins, I'd end up in hell. And this is where the plea for mercy is extraordinarily important. As we go through Lent, you can not only consider this, make it a part of your daily prayers if you're not already doing this. Because there you have a recognition of your guilt and still pleading before God the very necessity of forgiveness tied to this mercy. So that he will forgive you. How many Catholics have ever thought of each time they go to confession? They're entering into a sacrament. That is one of forgiveness and mercy. Our Lord knew from the very beginning how sinful we are. And with the institution of sacrament of penance, he's given us the opportunity to have our sins forgiven. That is a divine act of mercy. Imagine a life, and there are many people that live this life, going through your life, not having access to that sacrament. That sacrament which far too many Catholics fear, they want no part of because of their guilt or their shame. And yet, it is your best friend. I have told many people concerning my position in the confessional. I'm your friend, I'm not your foe. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to absolve you first and foremost. But I'm also there to guide you, support you, and encourage you. Those are extraordinary things in this life. Because for the individual who has a difficult life, those things will make it possible to see you through what otherwise would be almost impossible, humanly speaking. But you see, with God's mercy, is forgiveness. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is that possibility of salvation, even though we do not deserve it all. Far too much of the world today falls into this trap of unless you're some great sinner. And there are far more of those than what they realize. We're all going to heaven. That's a deception. It's actually a horrendous presumption of God's mercy and his forgiveness. Now, God will be merciful. God will be forgiving. But don't abuse his perfections. In this case, that of mercy. And you put aside, yes, you are looking for his forgiveness. But you're already assuming that he will forgive you, regardless of what your attitude is. One of the things that's required in going to confession is a firm purpose of amendment. That's a resolution to do your very best not to sin again. We know as Catholics, yes, we do sin again and again and again. But we have to harden that resolution to such an extent to where there's some improvement. Some. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just simply stating what the church requires of us. Even if the movement is a centimeter in the right direction, there's improvement. And with some people, their life moves by centimeters. Others, it's quite different. So as we go through each day, go through this Lent, and Lent is the place to start. Call upon God's mercy, acknowledging your sins, understanding the need for his mercy, for his forgiveness, and begin anew. Don't make the mistake of thinking, okay, I'll do this in Lent, and Easter comes. They put all of what they did and all their efforts in Lent. They put them aside and say, well, that was Lent. Now we're going to go back to what we were doing. Now that Easter's here, I can sin as I did before Lent. Then Lent was a waste of time. It was an act of futility. It's what it ends up being. And even more so, excuse the crudeness, but it's an act of stupidity. That's what it comes down to. Because Lent is a six-week period of penance. It's there to remind us. Yes, it's there to prepare us for our Lord's suffering, death, and resurrection, which is where the focus is at. But the good that we can do. How do we prepare ourselves? How do we prepare our souls during Lent? You've heard me say this many times, that is God truly going to bless you on a feast such as Easter, which is the greatest feast in the church? If you haven't done anything on your own behalf, to make your soul presentable before the throne of God. For those who make a good effort, he sees it and he blesses you. For those who don't, it's one more step in the wrong direction. And that's what we have to keep in mind. In the Kyrie at Mass every day. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Notice it's the second part of the Mass. the introit, then the Kyrie. There's a reason why it was put there in front of the Mass, to remind us of our need to call upon His mercy. Inasmuch as we take advantage of that, we'll be blessed. And we should desire God's blessings, all working toward our salvation. Amen.